First Thessalonians chapter 4, and this morning I'm going to deal with a subject that some of you may study from time to time. Some of you, this subject may be very new to you. Some of you, you may have not heard it for a long time. But this morning we're going to deal with the rapture of the church. Imagine this, if you could, in a moment, in a split second, many from the face of the earth vanishing out of sight. One person said it this way: every country will find itself in turmoil. Every government will have to act quickly as possible to prevent a wild tide of anarchy and terrorism. Strong measures will be put into effect. Millions of people will suddenly disappear from the face of the earth, including all the infants from all walks of life and from virtually every phase of life. There shall be people missing. The freeways, subways, airports, streets will be in shambles as many engineers, pilots, bus drivers, and a multitude of private car owners shall suddenly be caught up out of this world. It will be many days before they can unscramble the mangled cars, trains, and fallen aircraft. Remaining millions of people will be wailing, dazed, and shaken by the event. They shall be frantically striving to locate loved ones in all of the rubble of broken cars and amid broken storefronts and smashed residences. Communication will be greatly disrupted. Many key people shall disappear, and much of the lines of communication, which are still above ground, will be broken by crashes of cars and aircraft. Distraught and searching multitudes will jam and overload the communication line and systems that do remain. Dazed and confused, pleas from bewildered men and over-alert systems will be trying to bring some semblance of order. Policemen, firemen, rescue crews will work around the clock. Hospitals will overflow. Emergency shelters and first aid stations will be inadequate. The Red Cross and all other emergency units, plus the Army facilities, will still not be enough. Opportunists will add all to the confusion and the misery by looting and killing. They shall feel that under such a total emergency, they can get away with anything. Chaos will be on every hand. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor, you're scaring me at the very beginning of the message. The intent of this message is not to scare you by any stretch of the imagination. But the intent of this message is to bring you from the word of the Lord what God has to say to you and me about a very significant subject that every one of us need to be reminded of, and that is the rapture of the church. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, by the Lord God, has been given a mystery to reveal. It's a mystery that has not been given to the Old Testament prophets. It's a mystery that has been held in the very heart of holy God until the time that he releases it to his servant, Paul the Apostle. The mystery that you and I will know of, it's called the rapture. Now, you can say, well, now I've read the Bible and I don't find the word rapture mentioned in the Bible. You will not find that word rapture mentioned exactly that way, but the definition of it is still there nonetheless, all throughout the pages of the New Testament, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But Paul is talking to the saints at Thessalonica, and he's talking to them and talking to the saints at Corinth, and he's reminding them, telling them about this mystery that is to come. It's a mystery that you need to know. It's a mystery in which absolutely nothing has to take place for this to happen, even possibly before I finish this message. There are no signs. There is nothing that has to happen for the rapture to take place. I don't know how I can make it any clearer, because the Bible makes it very abundantly clear. Follow along with me in your copy of the scripture. Paul is talking in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Listen to what he says to these precious saints. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul makes it very clear in this passage of Thessalonians and also in Corinthians about a mystery that God has given to him that every one of us need to be very conscious of. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at different scripture. But I want to deal with, because some people may raise the question, does the Bible speak of the rapture? I've read different individuals and some of the greatest theologians out there, and I've listened to what they've said. And some of the greatest, they're very clear and very precise. But I want you to follow along in your copy of the scripture as we go through this, because you will not find the word rapture, as I said, mentioned in the Bible as that word. You never will find the word R-A-P-T-U-R-E in the Bible. But at the same time, you will never find the word Trinity in the Bible. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Just because you don't find it in that spelling does not mean it's there, because it is there in the original Greek word, because there is a definite word that Paul is talking about. Paul is making it very clear. He's talking to the saints of God about a divine truth that stems from the very heart of God. Paul made it very clear. It is a mystery. The word mystery that is used in the Greek, it's mysterion. In other words, it is a mystery held deep in the heart of God, only to be revealed at His timing, in His way, to whom He chooses to reveal it to. And that's exactly what Paul the Apostle says. He said, I'm speaking to you by the word of the Lord. In other words, he said, what I'm getting ready to tell you is not something I have thought up. It is not some new belief. It is not some new idea. What I am telling you stems from the very heart of Holy God. It comes from His heart. It comes from His mouth. Now, when Paul is speaking to the saints, there is a term that he uses in verse 17. You and I look at it in the King James Version or whatever you read, and it may say rapture, or it may say caught up. But the original Greek word is harpazo. And whenever you look at the original language and you find that word there, it's a very interesting and it's a very intriguing word. And somebody might say, well, what does the word harpazo have to do with rapture? Well, literally, the very word harpazo means to be caught up. It means to be taken up. It means to be taken up swiftly in such a way. And so Paul is talking to the saints of God. On another occasion, the word was used in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Look in your outliner and turn in your copy of the scripture. Paul is speaking and he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, the very word caught up is exactly the same word that is used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It literally means that catching up, that swift going up. And while the word rapture, as I said, is not in the Bible, it still is nonetheless in the exact defining word that God gave it to the early apostles, that God gave it to Paul. In other words, Paul is saying to the saints at Thessalonica, I want to tell you about an event that is going to happen by the word of the Lord. It is going to be a swift event. It is going to be an event in which you will not even have time to say a word before it happens. Because Paul is being very clear and being very precise to them, because they've been under persecution, they've been under attack, they are facing a lot of things, they've had loved ones who've died, and so Paul is given this by the word of the Lord. And so he says, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this by the word of the Lord. In other words, it comes as a divine directive. What I'm telling to you, Paul says, is from the mouth of God. And therefore, what I can say to you is, I'm sharing with you 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and the verses surrounding it. They come by the word of the Lord through Paul. They come by the word of the Lord that you and I need to listen to them very carefully. So imagine the scene for just a moment. There's also another passage that uses this same word, harpazo. Turn back to the book of Acts a moment. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Because in the book of Acts, this is exactly what happened to Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, listen to what happened to Philip after he went down and he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. And listen to what took place. Philip had preached, and listen to what took place. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, and right there, caught away, is the word harpazo. In other words, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Philip was caught up. Well, how quickly was Philip caught up? The Bible says that the Ethiopian eunuch saw him no more. In other words, one moment Philip was there, the next moment Philip was gone. One moment, Philip was baptizing. The next moment, Philip was taken away, and he was carried away. That's exactly what the Bible talks about. Can't you just imagine the scene? Can't you just imagine that Ethiopian eunuch coming up out of the water and maybe getting ready to say, Philip, this is such a what? He's gone. Where's Philip? Philip is no more. Philip has harpazoed. He has been caught up by the Spirit of God. That's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. The Bible says there is coming a day on the timing and the calendar of God that you and I are going to be caught up if you're a child of God. Now, the Bible is very clear about it, very precise about it, and God wants you to know. Now, some people will say, well, you know, now there are certain signs that have to take place for this to come. No, there are not one sign. You will not find in the Bible, in Paul's letters, or anywhere in prophecy, there is anything that must take place for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be caught up. Now, there are signs before the coming of Christ for his rule on earth. There are signs before he steps on this earth, but the Bible does not say in the rapture that Jesus steps on the earth. The Bible says we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so, you know, not only is Paul declaring the rapture, but he's declaring it by the word of the Lord. Now think about it. Here is Paul under divine directive by the Lord God to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is that? In our day and time, that would be you, brother and sister in Christ, if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is going to happen. If it would happen today, you wouldn't even have time to have a thought before it would happen. And I'll show you that because the Lord God is so wonderful and so gracious, he don't want you to be caught off guard. Now, let me say this. Friend, if you're a lost person, if that happened while I'm preaching this message, you would literally be petrified, and I'll tell you why. Because all of a sudden, one moment you would be listening and you would be seeing people around you. The next minute, there would be people, where's my friends? Where's my neighbor? Where's my relatives? And so the Bible declares it. The Bible declares that you and I are going to be caught up. That's exactly what the word means. Harpazo, caught up, taken away, snatched up. That's exactly the word that is used. Well, when is it going to happen? Can it happen today? Yes, it could happen today. Could it happen right at this moment? It's in the heart and the mind of God. It is a mystery. From the Greek word mysterion, meaning a mystery that the Old Testament prophets did not know about. It is a mystery that was held totally in the heart of God until he wanted it to be revealed. And when he revealed it to his servant Paul the apostle. So, what about the rapture? What does the Bible have to say about the rapture? Well, the Bible says that certain things are going to take place at that time the Lord appears. Now, think about it. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. You're not going to sit here and think, well, is that the rapture? No, you're not going to have time to think. Now, I'll explain to you why. One of the words that's used to describe the timeliness of it is the word moment. The word moment in the original Greek means atom. It was thought in the days of Paul that there was no way you could split an atom. In other words, you won't even be able to divide time. Someone said scientists have measured the blinking of an eye, and the blinking of an eye takes place in 1/50th of 1 second. The Bible says that the rapture of the church will be in such a way that it will be quicker than that. What will have gone on? Now, there's not going to be any announcement. There's going to be a sudden vanishing from the earth. Dr. David Jeremiah said this in preaching about the rapture. He said, it's totally possible between 30 and 70 million people will be vanished from the earth in one moment's time. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't give that number, but the Bible talks about the catching away. All of a sudden you're here and all of a sudden you're gone. That's what Paul said. He was saying that to comfort the saints of God. Think about it. That should motivate you to be reminded your redemption draws near. Think about it for a moment. You're getting ready to walk outside and you don't get to make it. All of a sudden, you're gone. You're getting ready to shake hands with somebody. They're lost. You're saved. And you're gone. You're taken out of sight. All of a sudden, you're driving along. You're getting ready to go to the grocery store. You don't make it. All of a sudden, you're not there, and somebody who's in the seat beside you, they're talking, and you're gone. That's exactly what Jesus said in his word. He said, two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be at the meal, one will be taken, the other left. There is coming a rapture. The Bible says it because it is by the divine authority of Holy God that Paul says, I declare this mystery unto you by the word of the Lord. This is coming to pass. It is going to be a reality. It is going to happen. Friend, you're not going to have time to say goodbye to your loved ones at the rapture. It's going to be a very sobering sight. I've tried to fathom and imagine what that will be like. But there is no human mind, there is no collective mind that can comprehend. But let's look at what the Bible says is going to take place. First, the Bible declares that the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout. Now, that's what the Bible says. Whenever you find two words, the Lord himself, that means you need to listen, and you need to listen very carefully, because the Lord God has risen from his throne. The Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to split absolute time, and he is coming back for his church. He is coming back to receive those who've been redeemed, those who know the Lord, those who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the word of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 are these: the Lord himself. God's not going to send someone else. Jesus isn't sending somebody else. The Bible says the Lord himself. It will be him that comes. You remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, the angel said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing? For this same Jesus who was caught up into heaven shall so come in like manner. John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come and receive you unto myself. The picture is the taking away of the church. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible makes it very clear. There will be a shout. Don't know what this shout will be like, but it'll be a shout of excitement. It will be a shout of command. The command that's given is a command that you and I have been long for. Think about it a moment. You and I live in a world of sin. You and I live in a world of suffering. Think about it. You're sitting in church on Sunday morning. You don't get through the message, and all of a sudden you're taken into the presence of God by the rapture. In other words, you've heard your last Sunday morning message for the last time. Now, don't say hallelujah. But think about it. You're sitting here holding your Bible in your hand, and all of a sudden your Bible drops out of your hand because you're gone out of sight. That's exactly what the word rapture means. Gone, suddenly, taken away. Look it up. Harpazio. Philip was caught up. And the Bible says, the eunuch saw him no more. Friend, here's the sobering thing I want to say at this point. If you're sitting in this sanctuary right now, you won't hear a trumpet blast. You won't hear any fanfare. If you're lost, you will just look around and you will find a vanishing from this sanctuary. You will find friends, neighbors, loved ones, relatives that vanished out of your sight. Just exactly like Acts chapter 8, verse 37, 38, and 39. That's exactly what the Bible says, and that's exactly what Paul is saying to these precious saints of God. You know, it's a shout for the saints of God to be resurrected with their bodies. I like what I heard Dr. W.A. Criswell say one time when he explained the last trumpet. In Roman days, they would sound three trumpets. The one trumpet would be, get up. Get your tents together. Get up. And the second one would be, fall in line. But the third trumpet, onward march. In other words, go onward. Can't you just imagine the Lord himself descending, the trump of God sounding, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on up. That's exactly what Paul is saying. At the last trump, it's the call of God's people to be up and gone. Oh, imagine, you're sitting here, you're reading, and you're up and gone. How fast, Pastor? Is it going to take 5 minutes? I could not say one word before it would take place. You won't even have time. You won't have time to reach over and grab your neighbor's arm, your loved one's arm. You won't have time to say, oh, I miss you. The Bible says that's exactly what's coming. And you see, when Jesus spoke the words to Lazarus, think about it for just a moment. You say, well, I don't figure out how it can happen. Well, somebody explained the creation of the universe to me. Not a single human being, not all the collective human beings that have walked on the face of the earth from the beginning of time to the end of time can explain the creation of God's world. And so what we do, we just sort of diffuse away or try to say, well, I can't comprehend, so it's not going to happen. Friend, it's going to happen. Paul said, if you want to doubt it, then you got to go behind this. You've got to doubt the word of God, because Paul said, I'm not saying this of myself. This comes from the very mouth of God to the mouth of Peter or to the mouth of Paul to proclaim to the saints for all the ages. I've read some wonderful men this week and reading about the rapture. Dr. Stephen Olford, W.A. Criswell, Dr. David Jeremiah. And I get excited listening to these men as they share, and precious men of God and scholars, tremendous men, talking about that wonderful event. But the Bible says it's coming. Think about it for just a moment. Jesus will speak his words of resurrection, and all the saints of all the ages will rise. How fast will it happen? You remember I said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Paul says the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be an order. The Lord's going to come. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said, well, why are the dead in Christ going to rise first? I like what I heard some other individuals say. Well, they've got further to go. They've got 6 more feet to go. I'm not going to get excited when it happens, are you? You're not going to say, well, how dare I have to wait for a second or two. Paul says, this I say to you by the word of God. It's coming. The rapture is coming. The dead in Christ, those who sleep in Jesus. Paul made it very clear. He said, I want you to be reminded, they're not dead. They've been asleep. Some have been, now, their soul's not in the grave. Don't you ever think about that. But they've been asleep. Their body's been in the grave, but they're going to rise. A person may go to sleep and sleep for 20 minutes, sleep for 6 hours, sleep for 10 hours. But irregardless, at one moment, they'll get up. That's exactly what Paul is saying. There's going to be an order. We may know, you know, how individuals are going to come up. We may not understand some things, but Paul said, here's what I'm going to tell you. There's going to be a resurrection. Now, there is not going to be an unbeliever that's raised at this resurrection. Why? Because Paul says the dead in Christ, only the dead in Christ are going at this time. All the others are saved for the great white throne judgment. All the unbelievers are reserved for that time. This is the resurrection of the dead in Christ. This is the resurrection. Those that have died in the Lord are going to be raised. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the sobering reality at this point is this. If you die apart from the Lord, or if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ at the rapture, you won't be going. If the rapture happens right now, let me tell you where you will find yourself after the rapture. You will find yourself still sitting in this seat. Still in this sanctuary, you will realize that it happened. And you will realize that the Lord kept his word. You will, no doubt, look. If you're a saved husband and your wife is lost, you'll be taken and she'll be sitting here. If your children are saved, sir, and you're not, your children will be taken and you'll still be sitting here. If your husband, your family is not saved, and you're the only one saved in your family, where is she? You'll be gone. There's not going to be any fanfare at the rapture. Only the fanfare is going to come after the rapture, that is to the people on earth. Why? Because people are gone. People are gone from home after home after home. People are gone from all walks of life. People are gone internationally. That is, people are gone from all over the earth. People whose languages we know, people whose languages we do not know. Why? Because the harpazio, the catching away, the rapture has taken place. And if you're lost, the Bible does say there'll be some that will be saved in the tribulation, and there's going to come tribulation. But if you're lost, how difficult will it be for you to come to faith in Christ? Because your Christian friends are gone. Your Christian brothers, your Christian sisters. I can't even begin to imagine what the news will be like. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like on the earth. What they're going to say and how they're going to rationalize it. But let me tell you this. Something is happening in motion picture industry that may allow for people to believe a lie. Have you noticed the things that are going on in the movie industry about end times? How many things are being done, motion pictures about end times, Armageddon, rapture, resurrection, how many different things are being done? And they'll do everything in the world to explain it away, but it will have happened. Because Paul says, I can tell you this by the word of the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Here's the sobering point in that passage of Scripture. You won't have time to get ready before the rapture. You won't have time to run down to an aisle. You'll be left behind if you're lost. Paul explained the rapture in a sequence of events. Says the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall be resurrected first. And there's going to be a living generation. What year is it going to happen? What living generation is going to be? The Bible simply does not say. But I'll tell you something sobering. I listen to some individuals who definitely know prophecy far better than I do. You look at the world stage and so many things are set in motion that call your minds back to what he says in his word. He says, in a twinkling of an eye. It may be in a split second, and it will be in a split second. Beyond that, the rapture takes place. Some may say, well, it can't happen. I just don't believe it can happen. The Bible's already validated that it has happened at different occasions. For example, you don't have to turn back there, but sometime in your own reading, go back and read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says Elijah went up in a whirlwind, and Elijah was no more. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, Enoch was taken away that he should not see death. And that's going to happen. There is going to be a living generation that's not going to see death. Man, I'd love for that to be our generation. Now, I'm going to be biased, and I'm going to tell you, I'd love for that, because death is not fun to be around or to be beside somebody. I'd love to be that living generation. Love to be that living generation. All of a sudden, you're here and you're gone. Imagine in a blink of an eye being in the presence of the Lord God, in the blink of an eye being with Him caught up. That's exactly what the Bible says. You say, well, I still struggle with it. I don't believe you can find an honest student of the Word of God that could tell you and would say, explain it to me clearly that I have no, because here's the reality. You try to explain God. You try to explain His ways. It's like that little boy one time. He saw the explosion of the atom bomb on TV. And that little boy just looked at that explosion. And he turned to his mother and he said, "Mommy, that explosion of that atom bomb's dynamite." And you try to figure it out. There's no way that our mind can. But Paul said, "I'm telling you as clearly as what you can understand in what mind you've been given that it is coming, that it is going to happen. You'll look for relatives and they won't be there." It's no surprise that the very definition of the word church, I don't know if you've ever thought of the definition of the word church, and it's more and more significant and precious every time I say it. Do you know the word church comes from two words, ek, meaning out of, lesia. Two Greek words put together, ekklesia, called out people. That's the definition of the word church. You and I have been called out of the world. You and I have been saved out of the world. We're not to live like the world or act like the world or behave like the world. We've been called out to a holy walk. People are to look at our lives and they are to look at a different life and a different walk and a different disposition. But folks, there's another definition that rings with it. Someday we're going to literally be ecclesied. We're going to be called out. We're going to be called out because the trump of God is going to sound. How's it going to sound? I don't know the sound of it, but I will know the sound of it. Because it'll be the trump of our Lord and our Savior to come and get us. Everything that I'm sharing with you is not going to come over a 3-stage, 6-stage, 12-stage time. It's going to happen faster than you can blink your eye. Faster than 1/50th of 1 second. Faster than an atom as far as being split. Imagine being left behind, though. Imagine you sitting here and maybe in all the congregation, 4 of you are left behind. You go to people that you love and respect, they're gone. You go to tell your children what you've experienced and they're gone. You go try to get some counseling from somebody and they're gone. Paul said, "I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you this by the word of the Lord. It's going to happen." You know, as I said, Dr. David Jeremiah shared that possibly between 30 and 70 million people being gone. But think about this. It happening today. Millions of people from all over the earth feel a tingling sensation pulsating through their body. They're suddenly energized. Those with physical deformities are healed. Wrinkles disappear. Those in buildings pass through the glass right through the ceiling without pain or damage. Their flesh and bones seem to dematerialize, defying all known laws of physics. As they travel heavenward, some see and greet those who've risen from their graves. Can't you just imagine that? Grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather, mother. After a brief reunion, they all vanish from sight, for they have been raptured. Now, friend, God wants you to know His truth. God wants you to know that it's coming. I don't know how much clearer to say it. There is not one single thing, according to Paul's words, which are the words of the Lord given to him, that must happen. Are there things that must happen before Jesus comes and sits on earth? Yes. But not according to the rapture. And you see, the reality is, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be left behind. Some people just can't think that this can happen. You can't comprehend how you can see out of two eyes with one focal vision point. You can't comprehend how you think with all the mental facilities that you've been given. You can't comprehend the mystery of sleep. You can't comprehend the miracle of rest. Millions of things we can't comprehend, and Paul says, I'm just telling you, it's coming. Friend, if you're here and you're not saved, I want to simply tell you this. If it happened right now, you would be left behind. You'll understand. You may not understand what's happened, but you'll go back and remember. If it happens next week, next year, 10 years, 50 years, I don't know when it's going to happen, but you'll remember at some point if you're lost. I heard a preacher say somewhere that there was coming a catching away. Has that happened? When you hear about 30 to 70 million people gone from the earth, you'll know the rapture has happened. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you give us your truth, and it's by the word of the Lord. It's not trumped up feelings or emotions, but it's by what you have said to your servants. And Father, thank you so very kindly for speaking to our heart, for speaking to our spirit. And Father, we pray for those who are here today that are not right with you. Father, pray that they would come to faith in Christ. Pray that they would come to you this morning. Is our prayer, is our request. In Jesus we pray. Amen.